Next on BYUSN, T-minus 11 days away from BYU and Georgia Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. How important would a victory be for the Cougars heading into next season? BYU men's basketball holding steady at number 10 in the latest AP poll. In spite of the top 10 ranking, are the Cougars underrated?
It's a ball night for men's hoops as the Cougars host old WCC foe Pacific. What's BYU most likely to replicate from Saturday's win against Riverside? And Blaine Fowler will be on the call for BYU Pacific tonight, and he joins us to break down the matchup.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, December 16th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who appreciates a good, usable bowl game trophy, Jerem Jordan.
Now, once upon a time, the Armed Forces Bowl trophy was used for a shoot we had, and I took it home overnight. And
you just had the Armed Forces Bowl trophy?
I had it at my house. I had the Vegas Bowl trophy. I had the Mountain Wisconsin Bowl randomly in my house for a shoot the next morning. Armed Forces Bowl trophy, the heaviest trophy ever. I mean, that thing was crazy. But the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy is useful. There's a nice addition to it. You can actually insert some Pop-Tarts and toast them, which Kalani Sitake and Brent Key of Georgia Tech and BYU were in Orlando yesterday, and they were using the trophy. And in fact, Brent Key had this to say about it.
Like, if we're fortunate enough to get the trophy, like, do you put it in a trophy case or do you actually use it? Like, I mean, I think you'd actually have to use it. I mean, otherwise it's a waste. Well, I'm thinking, like, you know, when we practice or before workouts in the mornings, you know, you put it right there by where the breakfast station is and then just use the trophy.
That's great.
He's a practical man.
I think you need, given that you have hundreds of people involved in your program, you probably need, I don't know, 50 of those to really be effective. The one with just two is a slow, inefficient process.
Can you imagine waking up in the Sitake home on New Year's Day morning and just throwing in a couple of Pop-Tarts in this massive trophy toaster?
We need to request, because you guys used one on the Monday after, that we get to use it after that. I want it in Studio B.
A permanent
when
fixture.
When BYU wins the bowl game. Yeah. Well, not permanent, but just I want to borrow that day. Yeah.
Celebrate every big win with the Pop-Tarts Bowl toaster.
Yeah. It's great marketing, honestly. Like, everybody knows about this bowl game. And it's a way better bowl game than you think. Fun fact, Alamo Bowl has the first pick after the playoff. They wanted BYU. And BYU was like, we did Alamo last year. That was great. We'd like to try the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And so there you go.
And I like it.
It would have been BYU-USC. Do you like that matchup more than Georgia Tech?
Probably.
I'm intrigued by that, given some history and recent history.
But I believe that BYU legitimately thought they were going to get Notre Dame or Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yes. Georgia Tech's still good. Ranked team. I think it's a fun matchup. Yep.
All right. Just get the
All good things.
Just get the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy. Just find a way to win that thing and bring it back to Provo.
Bring it home.
Please. I want it in Studio B for at least one day.
In the Trey Alexander Bowl.
At least one day. Warm it up. And we're warming up. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Making a bowl game is a self-perpetuating prophecy almost.
This is just a new era of BYU basketball.
BYU's got a lot of fantastic young guys. Winning the last game, especially against a ranked team, is momentum building.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. As we mentioned off the top of the program, 11 days away until BYU and Georgia Tech meet in the Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando. Yesterday, we spoke with ESPN's Trevor Maddich and discussed how important this game is for BYU and what a win would really mean for the Cougars pushing forward.
Winning the last game, especially against a ranked team like Georgia Tech, who was in the top 10 for most of the year, and now they're 22nd, is momentum building heading into the offseason. It continues the story that Coach Sitake has developed at BYU, which is you can do everything that you can do anywhere else at BYU. That means you can compete for conference championships. You can compete for the playoff. We can get you to the NFL. You can win at the highest level while playing the best teams. And these are the kinds of things that it would carry if they're able to win into the offseason, the continuation of that narrative.
BYU wants the big Mo, Jerem. How important would a win for the Cougars with that Mo in place be heading into next season?
I think it'd be super important. There's a couple of things, three things. One, potential of a top 10 finish. Two, potential of a top 15 preseason poll.
Okay.
Next year. And then the offseason mojo, as you mentioned. So, number one.
You got me at number 10.
How many? You had me at 10. How many times has BYU finished in the top 10 in the AP poll in history? The answer is three. That's it. Obviously, 84, the Natty. 96, number five. And then 1983, number seven. That's it.
Three top 10 finishes all time.
2020 was a unique year. BYU finished 11th. But 1980 and 2009, number 12. And then 79, 81, 2024, number 13. This could be the fourth highest finish in program history.
Let's have some fun here.
That's at stake.
Some hypothetical fun with the first point that you bring up. I am inclined to believe, and I said this on the phone call this morning, that Notre Dame and the perception of Notre Dame right now is not great with the AP voters. Because
with everybody but Notre Dame.
They opted out.
Yeah.
So BYU opts in and goes and plays a game against a ranked team and wins that game, then I believe BYU would supplant Notre Dame and take that number 11 spot.
At least that spot.
Let's say Miami gets blown out by Texas A&M in the college football playoff. And that's 7-10 game. Why couldn't BYU finish in the top 10? I like that thought.
I think it's realistic that BYU could finish in the top 10.
Wow.
With a win. Now, if they do what they did to Colorado, to Georgia Tech, there's a high chance it's top 10. Okay, so that's the first point. Number two, top 15 preseason ranking. Last year, we were expecting that. Jake Retzlaff situation happened. BYU did not. They came in at number 25 in the preseason poll, which is cool to be there, but they should have been top 15 going into this year. The highest ranking in the preseason poll ever is 10. You think, oh, that's pretty good. That's actually pretty disrespectful coming off of 84. You go from 1 to 10. I thought BYU should have been higher, personally.
BYU's
I was only
one,
2 years old. I couldn't fight the cause here on the show.
They have had one top 10 preseason ranking all time.
And one top 15.
And it was after the national championship.
Exactly. So what's at stake? I think BYU realistically could be in a position to be the second highest preseason rank in program history.
12 or 13.
Yeah. And if you win, if you lose this game, does it affect that a ton? No. But I think if you win, it it helps a little.
Yeah.
So I don't think it hurts. So, like, if you get blown out again, now we are talking about 90 and 2001 more than we want to with this team.
A fizzle at the end.
Yeah. We don't want the fizzle at the end unless it's a sparkler on July 4th or something. Okay, that's point number two. Number three, you mentioned it, the momentum. How good did we feel in the offseason last year going into this season? We felt amazing because the bowl game was this massive win. Spring ball was amazing. Everything was building, exciting. Obviously, as mentioned, the Jake Retzlaff situation changed things. Now it's quarterback battle. What's it going to be like with Bear? Oh my gosh, we're surprising everybody again. This is amazing. Can we do it? We're going to the Big 12 title. That was great. There's a lot to play for. I don't think if BYU loses that it affects a ton, but I surely do believe that if BYU wins, and hey, if they can win convincingly, it could be similar to what we felt last year, but BYU took a step.
Yeah.
And the next step is win the Big 12.
Now, one slight correction. You said that BYU was ranked number 25. They were the first team out. They were 26. But still, like the idea of being number 13 to finish the season and then dropping 13 spots to number 26, like not great, but understandable because of how everything panned out over the summer with Jake Retzlaff. But if BYU brings back Bear Bachmeier and L.J. Martin and the core of that defense, let's say that everybody decides to stay.
We're just talking about Glasgow mainly, right?
NIL war chest is in play, and everybody wants to run it back.
So someone's going to leave that we don't expect. It just happens, you know.
Why wouldn't BYU be at worst in the top 15? Like, it would take L.J. Martin leaving for the NFL, maybe Isaiah Glasgow leaving for the NFL, and some other unexpected transfers, I believe, to push BYU outside of that area.
I don't know that Glasgow influences that much. It's mainly a, do you retain Baron L.J.
combo deal. Like, if you lose a bunch of guys, okay, now maybe BYU comes in. But still, I think at least in the top 20. But if you bring back Bear Bachmeier and L.J. Martin and the core of your defense, and you win a bowl game like this, then I'm inclined to believe that BYU would be in the top 12 going into next season and then have finally that significant advantage, the pole position that we were hoping for that was going to be in place this year that would allow BYU to skate past all of the red tape of the College Football Playoff Committee because they start fast.
Yes, that's the end game is, so what's the point of the preseason poll ranking? It's that you can be in an at-large position at the end if you go 11-1 again.
And I don't really like preseason polls, but
yeah,
knowing what they mean to the current state and climate of college football,
they're going to exist.
Okay, yeah. They're not going anywhere, so why would you not want BYU to be in a much better position? And didn't it take like 3 weeks for BYU to finally crack into the top 25 this year? They had to start 3-0.
They'd just be in, which would be nice.
Just be in and be like in the top half of the preseason top 25. Then if you win 3 games in non-conference, and looking at next year's schedule, BYU should be 3-0 going into conference play. Now maybe you're a top 10 team as you begin Big 12 competition, wherever that is and whatever team you're facing. But it is crazy to me that BYU has only started one season in the top 10 ever.
Top 15. Expand it out.
I have to ask the question. Is there anything that BYU could do in this game and leading into next season to earn a second preseason top 10 ranking? Like, at any chance they could be number 10 going into next season? If so, what would that take?
At a minimum, Alamo Bowl number 2.
You got to blow out Georgia Tech. It looks super impressive.
I think also it would require Texas Tech probably going to the national title game.
Okay.
Because then the voters go, they only lost 2 games and it was to one of the best teams in the country.
Then we're having the same conversation we had last year. Oh, BYU deserves more respect. Right. They're so disrespected.
Undoubtedly, we would have that conversation on this program. you started to talk about 26. I want to mention to the people what the schedule is. We know 3 of the dates. Yep. We know the 12 opponents. Here they are. You ready? The control room's like, we don't have that graphic prep.
It's okay.
Utah Tech in the home opener, September 5th. The next week, Cal at home.
Love it.
The Tom Homo Bowl. At Colorado State, BYU's playing a G5 road.
Ooh, Jim Mora Jr. taking over at Colorado State, I believe.
Nice. And then conference games. We don't know the dates yet, but Arizona, Arizona State, Baylor, Iowa State, Cincy at home, at Kansas, at TCU, at UCF, at Utah road. It's a 7 home game season. Finally. Love it. Wish that was every year.
Could BYU take advantage of the 7 home game schedule and get back to the Big 12 championship game, but have the head start and the pole position? Like, things are lining up again.
No Texas Tech in the regular season. Looks good to me. There's a lot of tough games.
Could potentially be another special season for BYU.
Expectations will be higher than they were this year. The last 2 years when BYU has done what it's done, we did not expect it either year.
But now if BYU does bring back everybody, the expectation is absolutely there.
You should be in the hunt for Arlington. And if you're not, you're probably a little disappointed.
Okay. Go Texas Tech. Go BYU in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Looks super impressive. And let's see what that means for the future of BYU football going into 2026. Starting in the top 12 would be incredible.
That'd be awesome.
That would be incredible.
Come on.
Our question of the day, do you believe that a win over Georgia Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl ensures BYU will be a preseason top 15 team heading into next season? At CougarStat starts us off, Jerem.
In and of itself, no. It will depend on who BYU can retain on its roster, who they can bring in via the portal. For example, LJ Martin's return would have a significant positive impact on next year's expectations. That's totally right. And to win the Pop-Tart Bowl, you probably need LJ Martin to play, right? So haven't heard about any opt-outs. They're practicing this week. Monday, they travel to Orlando. They'll spend the whole week there. And then they come home after the game. So they actually don't fly out of Provo on this one. It's Salt Lake because families come. So it's a different situation.
Yeah. At Russ Melrose says, quote, no, doesn't guarantee it. For the preseason rankings next season, what matters most is who comes and goes in the portal. I understand why CougarStats and Russ are suggesting the portal, because we were all shocked at, obviously, the Jake Retzlaff situation. That wasn't so much a portal thing as it was an honor code situation and a legal issue, and then it
pushed
him.
It's just a major roster
piece. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But Keelan Marion is the one that I think a lot of BYU fans point to and say, well, he was with BYU after spring ball, and then all of a sudden hopped in the portal, and now he ends up at Miami.
And that doesn't exist now. That window, right?
So there's no window there, which I love, by the way, that is gone. I think that is a great decision to take that away. But I know there is some PTSD for BYU fans, like, oh, man, like, well, even when BYU had so many great things coming back, even a guy like Keelan Marion still left. So there is kind of this trepidation, like, who could leave?
With success comes, people want Kalani at Penn State. People wanted Keelan at Miami. Like, that's a natural naturally occurring thing. There will be somebody that leaves that we don't expect. It's just part of the deal. I'm not predicting. I'm not prophesying with sports. I'm just saying that's how this works. If you stink, that happens too.
The trend is transient. That there's usually at least one surprising roster move via the portal.
Some people emotionally are in a house, some are in a townhome, some are in an apartment.
There you go.
The dynamics of the ward. How many move-ins are there?
X, Facebook, and Instagram.
How much am I turning over my shoulder to turn around to see who's new in Sacramento? Meeting? Number 10, BYU plays Pacific tonight.
Oh, sure, basketball. If you heard that. Yeah.
If you didn't know that, you are sidelining that, just FYI.
We're talking about a lot of number 10s, and I like this.
I know, right? Pre-game at 8 Eastern on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Cougars coming off one of their most complete games of the season, Saturday against UC Riverside. Let's recount some of the notable numbers, because that sets up the question. 100 points scored, 36 bench points. Kostic and Boop were awesome, 27 of those. A.J. DeBonce at 26 points, 47% from three, tied a season high. 22 assists, second most, 53 points allowed. What's BYU most likely to replicate from the win against Riverside tonight against Pacific?
Everything, all of it. I got to pick one. I'm going to go with BYU's tenacious defense.
Oh, nice, dude. This is the greatest take in the world? Is that what you're going to drop for us?
53 points allowed. I think that is the most likely to reoccur tonight. I think BYU has discovered something in the energy that they can create at home. They're at home. They're so happy to be back in the Marriott Center. They all talked about the energy and how important it was, and that after 32 days away, they almost forgot what it was like to have the home crowd energy with the crowd right on top of you. A few of them mentioned that really spurred the way that we played defense and got after it. I think BYU is going to do the same thing to Pacific tonight. 53 points allowed is the number that I'm going with. Jerem, how do you see it?
That very well could happen. I like that a lot. It's going to be interesting because Pacific is a team that is going to shorten the game with long possessions.
Yes.
They're really good defensively.
Getting to 100,
No, there's no way BYU gets to 100.
Because they slowed the game down 53 or less, that's a heavy reason why I'm
going
there.
Could be like a 78-53 win. This is a top 100 net team. So it's a quad three, but Pacific much improved. Defensively, 17th in the country in rebound margin and scoring defense.
Ooh.
And what did Clemson do to go up by 22, they were plus 7 or 8 on the boards.
Got after on the glass.
They have some bigs. Isaac Jack, Elias Ralph, they rebound well. So they have some veteran guards. This is like a Canadian all-star team, by the way. Dave Smart was a great Canadian college coach. He's got 6 or 7 dudes on the roster from Canada. They play well together. He is someone at Pacific, you can probably guess if you know the BYU connection, told me this guy's a maniac. In a good way. He gets after his guys in a very intense way. You'll see it and hear it tonight. This is one of the better Pacific teams that BYU has ever faced, given the 10 years in the WCC together. By the way,
Even in the Damon Stoudemire days?
Nice. I don't want to talk about it. Speaking of Georgia Tech, right? Is he still Georgia Tech?
He's still the head coach of Georgia Tech.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. So which number is most likely? I'm hoping it's the 22 assists, the ability to share the basketball and score. But 100 isn't happening. I don't know that 36 bench points will happen just because there will be fewer points, period.
36 is a lot.
I mean, AJ could always go for 26. I don't care what the tempo is of the other team.
I think that's probably the second most likely, is AJ going for 26.
Yeah, and of this homestand, I agree with Rami McCombs, who put this out. This is the best team of the four teams BYU will face, with Riverside, Abilene Christian, Eastern Washington.
In this quartet of non-conference games to finish.
Yes, this is the best of those teams. Okay. BYU still win by
Ken Palm 124 Pacific. Formidable foe. And guys that will play.
124, not so much, but
play really hard.
Yeah.
Well, still, what's crazy is 124 is still almost the top third of college basketball. There are so many college basketball teams.
There are a lot of teams.
So many. Yeah. Give me that 53 points or fewer on defense. BYU men's basketball stays at number 10 in the AP poll for a second consecutive week. I've had a few of you in my mentions saying, now wait a second, destroyed Wisconsin, won that Thanksgiving tournament, put on a show and rallied to beat Clemson. Why is BYU still only number 10? Which prompted the following question. Are the Cougars underrated at number 10, Jerem?
AP poll doesn't matter in basketball that much. I mean, if they were 15th, If you put together a composite of all the kind of major rankings, they're kind of around 11. So it's not that far off there. But I will tell you where BYU is great. In quad one and two wins, six. That is tied for the most in the country.
Six?
Michigan is the only other team that has six. They're 6-0, BYU 6-1. Okay, the one loss is to UConn by two in Boston. That is tremendous. That's about as good as you could possibly expect from BYU. Don't forget that Kennard Davis did not play in that game against UConn. They had some talented players that didn't play either. But you got to just roll out who you have and you got to go. Quad one wins. BYU has three. That's tied for seven. BYU has no quad one A wins, meaning 0-15 net. They will have plenty of opportunity in the Big 12. Not concerned about that now. UConn was that opportunity, right? So there's look spectacular. Six in net today.
Lenardi has them.
Lenardi has them as a two seed, the last two seed at number eight. Fantastic. It's great. Also, it's December 16th. Not too worried about it.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. But for the sake of the question right now, if Lunardi has them as a two seed and they're number six in the net ranking and number nine in KenPom, all of those numbers are better than number 10. So, yeah, I'd say that they're a hair undervalued in the AP poll. It doesn't matter, but they might be a little bit undervalued there. I appreciate the way that BYU is playing basketball.
Where do we think they should be? Should they be
six, 8 or 9?
Should they be 6 or 7? I didn't do that on purpose, just so you know.
No.
I'm not one of those. Call me in and out.
I'd probably put him around 8 or 9. Yeah, not a ton, but undervalued a hair.
Isn't it wild that BYU is 10th in the AP poll and the 4th highest ranked team in the league?
I knew where you were going with that. 4th.
Arizona 1. Team. Iowa State 4. Houston 7. BYU 10. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
This is crazy.
They're the fourth best team in the Big 12.
Well, I would say that.
According to the AP poll.
I would say highest ranked.
According to the AP poll, BYU is the fourth best team.
But although I do agree, I think right now BYU is the fourth best team in the Big 12, based on how everyone's
which
playing.
Which is not a knock.
I want to see BYU play Houston and Arizona and Iowa State. I mean,
they get them all at home. They get all of those teams in Provo.
We could have. I mean, it's not going to happen, but as currently constituted, three top 10 matchups in the Marriott Center.
They get all of those teams in Provo.
I mean, the likelihood is they're in the top 15, Spence. I doubt that we've ever had that, right? Three top 15 matchups in the same season in Provo.
Did it happen in the last 2 years? No.
BYU wasn't itself in the top 15.
Yeah. It took a while to get there.
Yeah. I mean, this is awesome. This is the dispensation of the fullness of times.
This is what we all wanted.
BYU is in the top 15 in football and basketball. Come on! Number 10 men's hoops, host Pacific tonight. Clash of old West Coast Conference foes. I know some of you missed those visits. No, you don't. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Game tips at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. The people that miss it are the people that live in those cities. You probably do miss that.
The West Coast BYU fans miss those games.
I miss the Pac-12, I'll be honest.
Up next, BYU TV dual threat analyst Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, on the call tonight for BYU Pacific men's basketball. He'll preview that showdown. Plus, what matchups intrigue him the most in the BYU Georgia Tech game? Does he think the Cougs would be a preseason top 10 team if they win? It's BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Kalani's done a great job all season long. Like, we have to grind every day. We got to continue to be humble.
And it's a very good football team.
He trusted. We're going to get an oop right here.
Catching and shoot.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Is that what they say?
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, as promised, is our dual threat analyst. We call him Uncle B. Blaine Fowler is back.
Yeah, the dreamer. And me.
Okay, you're the dreamer apparently today as well. Hey, Blaine, interesting matchup tonight. We'll get there in a moment. But first things first, have you finished your Christmas shopping for your lovely wife, Brenda?
No, and you know what happens? At the same thing every year, Christmas Eve comes. I remember. But I'm glad you reminded me today, Spencer. That's a good thing for a nephew to do, to remind their uncle to get out and do the shopping for Brenda. But I go on Christmas Eve, and then I call Nicole and Libby, who both don't live here, and I put them on FaceTime, and I walk around the store with them both on FaceTime, and they pick out stuff for me. I have them gift wrap it, and then I'm ready to go. So that is my normal way of doing things every Christmas, and it probably won't change this year.
If you were gift wrapping and shopping for Brigham Young University's intercollegiate men's basketball team, what would you buy for the kids?
Gosh, I would buy them consistency at knocking down threes on the outside from Maruss and Kostic and those guys. You know what? He like teased us. Kostic did the other night. He teased us that he's going to be that guy, because I think that's the one missing piece for them. And with Dawson Baker out, if they can get those guys to come in and shoot the basketball like he did the other night, it doesn't even have to be that good. You know, you don't have to make five in a row. But where he's shooting, let's say he could shoot low 40s from three. All of a sudden, there's so much more room for Rob Wright and for AJ and for Richie to go attack the basket and pass the ball on the interior and get dunks for Kaba and all of that. When this is going on from the perimeter and Kostic and those guys are knocking down shots, that's what I wish for them. That the Kostic that played the other night would show up every single night from this point forward, and that would be a dream, and that would make BYU very, very dangerous.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. I thought you were going to say you'd buy a new college football playoff committee for BYU football.
Oh, well.
That too.
We can add that to the wish list, though.
I would institute a net for football, just like they do in the NCAA.
Yes.
I would stop having, hey, let's do a show every week
so we can
have sponsors and deal with this nonsense for weeks. Have a net. Have that be the thing that you start with, just like to do the NCAA tournament. Have a committee that just meets one weekend, and they announce what the teams are. Stop all this crazy nonsense and put 16 teams.
Come on!
That's what I'm saying.
That is on my Christmas wish list for college football in general. Okay, Blaine, back to basketball now. Unique matchup in tempo specifically. Pacific is, yeah, they are very slow and defensive-minded. Mm-hmm. I think their adjusted tempo is 314 out of every college basketball team. Again, they play really slow. BYU wants to play fast. How does BYU impose their will against a team like Pacific when they want to muddy this thing up?
Yeah, you can speed a team up by playing great defense and creating turnovers when you're on the defensive end. Then you get out and you're running in transition, because that's the way you get into transition against this team. Because if you let them run the full shot clock and run their offense, that's what they're going to do. And then defensively, if you can't get out, get hands in the passing lanes, get some block shots and get out and run, they're going to make you play in the half court. And they're a top 60 team in defensive field goal percentage, both twos and threes. And the reason for that is they don't take a lot of chances on defense. So this isn't – when you say they're good defensively, Spencer, it's not because they're going out and they're stealing the basketball and they're blocking a bunch of shots. They just stay in front of the ball, and they just contest every shot. So they're really sound defensively. They make you shoot it. They make you shoot twos. They get you off the three-point line. When you shoot from the three-point line, they close out under control. You know, they have the 6'11 Isaac Jack at the rim, so they don't help a bunch off of the shooters, and they just hope that he can change the shot enough. And on the offensive end, and they're pretty good offensive rebounding team. They're a good rebounding team. So they're physical. They have decent length. They got a star in Elias Ralph that's preseason first team all WCC, averaging almost 17 a game. This is a way better team. Of the four teams that BYU's playing in this last homestand before they get going on the conference season, this is by far the best team. They're just fundamentally sound on defense. So I think BYU needs to create some chaos when they're playing defense that gets the pace going, and then the crowd feeds off of that, and then maybe you can hurry Pacific up a little bit.
BYU dominated UC Riverside. It was probably the most complete game BYU's played all year. What can BYU replicate, in your opinion, from that performance tonight against Pacific?
Well, interestingly, Pacific's defensive philosophy is very similar to UC Riverside, where they don't help a lot off the three-point shooters. They guard the three-point line. So there's going to be some seams and some creases in that defense that AJ and Rob Wright and Richie Saunders and those guys that have their hands on the ball can get into and start creating rotations inside. BYU can get to the rim, and they can finish against this team, just like they did the other night. And then they get them starting to be concerned, and they start to say, oh, we're going to help. Then you get open looks outside for a guy like Kostic that can knock down some shots. Richie can knock down some shots from out there. But I think the attack offensively can be very similar in terms of game plan against UC Riverside, because I think these teams, their defensive philosophy is very similar. They just have better players and more length to utilize that defensive philosophy than UC Riverside did.
Blaine, AJ DiBonsa named the Lute Olson National Player of the Week. He is now making 20-point games look very easy. What aspect of his game impresses you the most? And this after he scored 26 and had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals in that win over UC Riverside.
Yeah, first of all, I love his intensity. And you guys have gotten to know AJ a little bit. Off the floor, he's just kind of quiet, nice, really respectful, loving kid, right? But he gets on the floor and something happens to him where he just is a competitor. So I love the competitor in him. The thing that's been most impressive for me is that despite the fact that he's one of the most athletic, gifted kids in the world, period, right? I don't say that very often. Do we say that with BYU players ever that you can remember? He's one of the most athletically gifted players in the world. And he's just a youngin', but his attention to fundamentals, the way he plays, his footwork, he is fundamentally really, really sound. He has worked on his game. And so he's got that great combination of he's crazy athletic, can jump out of the gym, has all this length, lateral quickness, covers so much ground, yet his fundamentals are really good. Watch him shoot a jump shot. You can make a video, a teaching video, on how to square up, elbow in the proper position, the release of his hand, the rotation on the ball. He is really fundamentally good. I probably been most impressed with that because some kids that are this talented growing up just rely on that and don't work on their game. Look, this guy's footwork is ridiculous for his age.
Yeah, it's crazy. The only thing I want to see him do a little bit differently, just two things, and I mentioned it yesterday. One, a little more arc on his shot. It's flat sometimes, especially at the free throw line. And then I want him to shoot it. A few more threes, Blaine. He's 8 for 23, 35%. Good percentage, but it's just a low number of makes. He doesn't force things, though. I actually want him to force some threes a little bit. What do you think?
Well, sometimes he forces some things, and not really forced, because it's not forcing for him, because if he gets in mid-range and he's got a single defender on him, well, any shot's a good shot for him. I don't care how closely guarded is. He's going to elevate right over the top and make the shot. And if guys are trying to close out on him, if they're not there on the catch, every three is a good shot for him. Nobody's going to block that shot closing out from inside out on him. He's going to elevate right over the top of it. So in the second half of some of these games, like I'm not going to say force it. He's been more assertive. And the one thing that I think we're going to see happen with him over the course of the season, teams throw some unique things at him, and he hasn't seen a lot of stuff in college basketball. So sometimes it takes until halftime when they sit down in the locker room and say, hey, AJ, this is what they're doing, and this is what they're doing. Need you to do this. Want you to take over a little bit. I want him to recognize it on the fly. And by the 16 minute, the first under 16 timeout, the first media timeout, understand in his own mind on the fly, okay, this is what I need to do differently right now. I'm going to adjust and I'm going to be more assertive right here. That's going to come with experience. We got to remember how much college basketball experience this guy has. We've watched it all here in just a few games, right? And so he's just going to keep on getting better. Crazy skilled, and he's very, very coachable. KY was telling us the other day, you teach him something once and he's got it. He's a lot like Bear Bachmeyer in that regard, where teach him what you want him to do and it's done. They don't make the same mistake twice.
BYU at number 10 in the newest AP poll in men's basketball. We just got done talking about if that number 10 ranking is proper. Or, Blaine, do you think BYU is a little bit underrated as the 10th ranked team in the country?
A little bit underrated. I think people are erring on the side of, well, they're still so young and a lot of new faces. But their net's still 6, isn't it? Aren't they 6 right now in the net? Honestly, I feel like that's more where they should be. 6 or 7 is where they should be based on who they've played and the resilience that they have and coming back and playing games, because they're just going to get better. They're slightly underrated right now. 6 or 7 to me, I'd be like, yeah, that's where they belong. 6 or 7. Go right along with that net. Problem is that AP poll, a lot of East Coast voters, they don't see them as much, even though they've played on the East Coast and aren't as familiar with what's going down. But they'll catch on. And you know what? It doesn't really matter with the league BYU plays in right now, because you just go out and be great in the league and you're going to get a great seed. Like, based on the net right now, they'd be a 2 seed. I would take that right now. If we were going to the NCAA tournament tomorrow, I'd take a 2 seed and think that they could go on a great run with that. Wouldn't you guys take that?
The best seed in basketball history.
Yeah, at BYU. Three seeds, the best they've ever had. We'd take 2. Absolutely, I agree. Okay, BYU Georgia Tech. We were talking about the stakes of this game. What's at stake in terms of how BYU finishes and what it means for the offseason and what it means for the preseason ranking?
Yeah, there's so much that a bowl game benefits. Like, the 15 practices with the young guys is huge to carry into next year and bring momentum. And the going out and making a statement in this game, if they can make a statement like they did in Colorado, it affects the preseason rankings next year, especially with Bear coming back and with who they have coming back. Remember, the thing that killed BYU's preseason ranking this year was that Jake announced that he was going to leave, and they kind of dropped like a rock because they thought that they weren't going to have a quarterback. Well, if they go out and make a statement against Georgia Tech, who's a respected program, even though they finished weak at, you know, they lost 3 of their last 4, but at one time they ranked number 7 in the country. If they can make a statement against this team, it has a huge impact on continued recruiting efforts, on preseason perception going into next year, and on the momentum you carry into spring ball. It's a big deal. They need to go play really well.
Blaine, do you believe that there's any chance that BYU football, speaking of top 10 rankings, could be a preseason top 10 team going into the 2026 campaign?
If people are intellectually honest that vote on the preseason polls, I think they should be right around 10 going in, right? And coming off of where they came off, I do think it's really important that they go make it. Like, if they win in a close game and come back and kick a field goal to win it, maybe they're 12 or 13. They go and convincingly beat Georgia Tech, I think people are going to go, man, we underrated them last year. They could absolutely start it right around 10 to start next season. You know, the other thing that has an impact on it, guys, that I think about all the time is we need to be Texas Tech's biggest fans in history.
Yes.
Right? If Texas Tech goes out and plays in the national championship game and loses in a close game, or even think, what if they went and won the national championship? How satisfying would that be for BYU? And would people go, oh, crap, Texas Tech is way better than we give them credit for, and BYU
But it's too late.
Way better than we. But it's not too late to take that into account with who they have coming back for preseason polls next year. And you start higher, you have a chance to climb higher early, and then you're not penalized as much if you lose a game against a really good team later in the season. I mean, we saw that with Bama. They beat Georgia, and that carried them the whole season into the college football playoff. They don't belong there. And now watch, they'll go out and win this weekend handily. But Texas Tech, we need to be huge Texas Tech fans, and we need BYU to do their job and play great. Guys like Tanner Wall go out on a great note. Satawala, who's coming back next year. They're loaded coming back next year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Absolutely could be a top 10 team, but a couple of things help propel them into that as we watch the postseason here.
Haynes King finished number 10 in the Heisman voting. Bear Bachmeier is a freshman All-American. This dual threat quarterback matchup is going to be a lot of fun. Do you feel like Bear has to outplay Haynes in any way? And if LJ opts out, I'm not reporting anything, I'm just throwing it out there. If LJ opted out, would Bear have to outplay Haynes for BYU to win?
It depends on how healthy Sione is when you say if LJ opts out, which we haven't heard whether he's going to do that or not.
Right.
So we can address that. If he does, I will completely understand that. With a shoulder injury and all the things that I'd completely say, absolutely, LJ, we're cool. You gave it all. You're going to the NFL this year. Cool. So that could happen. I don't think he has to outplay King. I think he needs to be solid and not turn the ball over. I think BYU needs to be even or plus in turnover margin. So he needs to take care of the ball. He needs to manage the offense. Between Sione and Rex and Alahini and that whole crew, I think there's enough running game in them and Bear running the ball that he doesn't have to outplay Haynes King. Haynes King has almost 10,000 yards passing. When you look at this is Bear Bachmeier only with 6 years in college football. People have asked me, what quarterback in the Big 12 does Haynes King remind you the most of? And I immediately go, Bear. Like, that's who he's the most like. They're similarly skilled. King's a little taller. Bear's a little more physical. But they're very similar with what they do offensively. Now, Haynes is averaging 245 yards a game passing this year and 85 rushing. He's their leading passer and their leading rusher. So much more is on him. And here's what I'll say. The reason Bear doesn't have to outplay him is BYU's defense should be significantly better than Georgia Tech's defense in this game. If everything that's happened this season plays out on the field, BYU's defense should give Bear some opportunities that Georgia Tech's defense doesn't likely give to that Georgia Tech quarterback. So doesn't have to outplay him, just has to play solid. King's a great player. He's one of the best quarterbacks BYU will face all year, but Georgia Tech's defense is not the best defense BYU's played all year. I'll just leave it at that.
The always studious Blaine Fowler putting things in perspective for all of us. Good luck with your Christmas Eve shopping, Blaine.
Yep, I'm going to rest up until then, so I'm ready to roll on Christmas Eve, as usual.
Let's go, brother. We'll see you tonight.
See you guys.
Thanks, Blaine. If you miss any interviews, trending topics of the BYU Sports Nation content throughout the week, make sure to subscribe and watch our videos on our YouTube channel.
Still to come, some major national recognition for BYU freshman phenoms AJ Devonta, Bear Bachmeyer, and Olivia Hamlin. Tuesday's headlines up next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 10 Men's Hoops hosts Pacific tonight in the Marriott Center. First meeting with any former West Coast Conference team since the Cougars left the league. Pre-game coverage 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Cougars up to number 6 in the net today.
BYU men's basketball remains at number 10 in this week's AP poll after that furious rally and buzzer beater at Madison Square Garden to beat Clemson, followed by a dominant home win over UC Riverside. This marks the 7th consecutive week BYU men's hoops has been ranked inside the top 10.
AJ DeBonta named the Lute Olson National Player of the Week and to the Big 12 starting five for his performance last week. Averaged 27 points a game, 8.5 boards, 6.5 assists, 2.5 steals in 2 games against Clemson and UC Riverside, including career-high of 28 against Clemson.
Olivia Hamlin of BYU Women's Basketball named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week. Hamlin led all Big 12 freshmen with 42 points, 16 made field goals, 4 three-point field goals, 6 free throws, and 6 steals in wins over Idaho State and UTEP. Hamlin and the Cougars open conference play this Saturday at UCF in Orlando.
I thought it was called the Delaney Gibb Freshman of the Week, isn't it?
Oh, my bad.
Bear Bachmeyer was named to the 24/7 Sports Delaney Gibb True Freshman All-American Team. Just kidding. Bachmeyer passed for 2,700 yards, completed 64% of his passes, rushed for 527. We forget that part, right? Responsible for 25 TDs, helped lead BYU to the Big 12 title game. And Garrison Grimes named second team ABCA All-American as a long snapper this morning. Congratulations. That's Jeff Grimes' son, if you didn't know.
Good for Garrison. Hey, more BYUSN on the way, including the top 5 plays from AJ DeBonta so far this season.
Oh, baby.
I think we know what number 1 is, but what about the rest? We break it down in Top 5 Tuesday after this.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
No way. You ain't in discussion. Not even a prospect. Yeah, you better go and get to meditating. Yeah, we coming for you, no hesitation. Might as well call the league up. Tell them put the trophy on reservation. Been going up, that's elevation. No holding back, no preservation. Treat off-season like postseason. No days off, this dedication.
And with that, we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Bring on Top 5 Tuesday, which features the top 5 plays so far this season for one AJ DeBonta. Jerem, start us off.
Football team going to Orlando next week. BYU's already been there and won. Set the tone. Women's hoops, go do it too. Against Dayton, late in the game. Pass over to Richie from AJ. A dagger 3 with BYU up 1. Make it 4. Great vision from AJ.
A LeBron-esque pass that his coach has been referencing. Number 4. Also sharing in this regard. As we look at that Clemson unbelievable performance, the lob to Kabakeda. And that's the play that put BYU back in front after they were down by 22. AJ finished the game with a then career best 6 assists.
He's got 13 assists the last two games, Spence. He's been fantastic. Number 3, the lefty layup against UConn. His footwork here is ridiculous. Jump stop, twist,
come on,
pivot, left hand, glass, bucket. AJ with the footwork.
It's unfair. At number 2, back to the UC Riverside game. AJ on the break. Here you go, Richie. Give it back to me! Throws it down, eyes at the level of the rim when he throws that down.
Watch Richie. Luckily, he was okay. Like, I was really worried about him after this. AJ throws down, everyone's looking at him. I'm going,
is Richie
make sure
okay?
Richie's okay.
AJ finished with 26 points. Richie Saunders, 100% healthy. He'll be ready to go tonight against Pacific. Cougars win by 47.
And the top play so far this year for AJ is the teeth-grinding, face-melting dunk down the lane at MSG. I scared my 1-year-old Paige because I screamed just like that when he did this at my house, jumping out of my seat. Unbelievable. He pauses for a second, then he goes, oh, yeah, I gotta get back.
Play.
And then you see his arms swinging in motion.
It's still a game.
To get back.
It's still a game.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah!
Love it.
BYU beats Clemson. All-timer at Madison Square Garden.
They won the Tyson Hutchins Bowl.
Yeah. Shout out to our homie Tyson Hutchins.
Not a lot of connections between the two teams.
If you like what BYU marketing does on social media, including The Cut, then Tyson is the guy that's coordinating all of that.
Let me tell you a little bit more. You know how pre-college football playoff stuff, BYU got pretty angsty on social? BYU Cougars? That was Tyson. Out here doing the Lord's work.
And it was well played.
It was awesome. Now we can go to the promo. Sorry, I didn't go to it quick enough. If you miss any interview shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com. There it is. Or on demand on the free BYU TV app.
Do you believe a win over Georgia Tech would ensure that BYU is a top 15 football team in the preseason poll heading into 2026? Would it make them a top 10 team? More responses to our question of the day next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX. Healthcare careers built for victory.
How many times do you think we've shown that highlight?
Not enough, Jerem.
Bear Bachmeyer jumping over Jackson Benny.
Also, Jackson Benny, that wasn't even the most critical highlight from that game that featured Jackson Benny and Bear Bachmeyer.
I think we've shown that clip 89 times since the Utah game. Make it 89 more. It's awesome.
We welcome everyone back as we close out what has been a high-energy BYU Sports Nation today.
Ball night,
on a game day. Yeah. Yes, a ball night.
Let's go, baby.
Our question of the day centers on football. We ask, do you believe that a win over Georgia Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, playing for that coveted actual toaster Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy, will result in BYU being a preseason top 15 team heading into 2026.
E-Rock on Twitter. That math only works if you're an SEC team. Well played. Now, wait a minute.
At Jay Rivest says, ensures no, but better than 50-50. I thought there would be more BYU fans that bought into this idea than we have seen in the responses.
Well, I mean, what's LJ going to do? And then you have to retain some of the guys. Like, BYU has to retain Bear. This is all year to year. We'd like to think there's loyalty. I'm not talking about Bear specifically. I'm talking about generally speaking. You have to retain guys.
There's big narrative surrounding the Kalani Sitake situation in re-signing him after all of that that suggests that BYU can go aggressively, keep their players more than ever before. Hope that is the case.
That's the hope, yeah.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, at Position Picks FF, says, if the QB stays, the ranking stays.
Do we think if LJ goes to the NFL, that would affect the ranking by a couple of spots?
Yes, as it should.
I think so, too. Maybe not 4 or 5.
The Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, 1 to 3.
He might be a preseason All-American if he comes back to BYU.
Yeah.
Right?
I think in some spots he would be. Yeah.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
AJ DeBonta named the Lou Olson National Player of the Week and in the Big 12 starting 5. Keep it going tonight, baby.
Well done, AJ. Our thanks to today's guest, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. A final shout out to our guy, Alex Barcelo. See you tonight for BYUSN Countdown at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain. Beat Pacific, go Cougs!